Hey, good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew, and today Anne-Marie and I are with Mitch and Kelly Maddock. They're the founders of the Holy Innocence Ministry, which we're going to talk a whole lot more about here in a little bit. I think this is going to be a great conversation for a lot of our listeners. And I'm going to bury the lead a little bit here purposely because I want to find out a little bit more about Team Maddock and a little bit about y'all's background. So first, welcome to another edition of the Hometown Hero.
Thank you so much for having us. Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell us, introduce yourselves to Central Texas proper.
All right. Central Texas. My name is Kelly Maddock. I am the wife of Mitch Maddock.
Hi, everybody. We're stationed at Fort Hood. We've kind of been all over the place and happy to be here and sharing this ministry with everybody that we can, and getting the word out. Originally from Duluth, Minnesota, so way up north. From here.
Both of you are from Duluth?
Same town.
Okay.
Same
about,
church.
About 3 miles apart from each other.
Is this where you tell us you were high school sweethearts too, or no?
Yes and no. He threw a pine cone at me in grade school. He said that he didn't, but he did, and he ran away and laughed.
I don't remember that.
And then I ended up being homeschooled, and he went to high school.
Okay.
And he worked at a pizza place above the cafe that I worked at, and...
Yep. In Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah. How far north is Duluth, Minnesota?
It's
about 3 hours from Canada.
Yeah, from the border.
Wow.
If you take,
So
I wonder what the temperature is up there.
So
right,
I was going to say it's already
like the teens.
They've had
snow.
Yeah.
It's 50s here. So yeah. Wow.
It's a lot different than usually sunny Texas.
Yeah, well, you acclimate real fast because we went home over the summer and we were freezing.
I'm freezing today and it's, what, 56?
Outside of Germany, we haven't been anywhere cold
like
in a long time. So every place has been hot and humid.
Yeah. So been in Central Texas now about 18 months or so?
Yes.
Yeah. So how did y'all meet? Give us the Reader's Digest version of the courtship.
The sunglass story.
Yes, the sunglass story.
This is a great radio conversation because the looks that are going on right now.
So I don't know where I was going. I was driving down to the lake or something, and then I knew she was at work past the cafe, and then I stopped probably about a mile down the road and turned around. And I was like, you know what? It's now or never. So went into the cafe, and then she had a friend working, and friend went back to the, I think you were washing dishes or something at the time. She's like, oh, Mitch is here. And kind of creeped around for a little while, waited for her to go change the garbage can or the trash, bring the trash out, and then ended up asking her out on a date. Still had my sunglasses on inside, and the sun never sets in Coolsville. So
I think
those are the
first thing I said to him was, well, your mom will be happy. Because we had a his mother and I had a conversation like a month earlier.
Okay.
And then I was like, why would you say something like that?
So y'all were in high school at this point, or
this was after high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was right after high school.
I think I was I still a senior? I must have been a senior.
I don't know. It was a while ago.
A few years ago.
Yeah. So you're ahead of me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
you've seen a lot of country since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were getting ready to go to the Army yet? No.
It really hadn't. I mean, I had thought about it.
Okay.
But I hadn't really made any commitments. I was kind of just floating around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, doing what I wanted to do.
We've been there. We all been there.
Yeah. And then she actually got a job with the Pittsburgh Ballet. And she had been in ballet for quite a while.
Wow.
In Minnesota.
Yes. Okay.
So when she got the job, I really wasn't doing a whole lot, so I packed up and followed her out to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a give us the Reader's Digest version here now, a ballet in Minnesota.
Yeah, so I was a dancer with Minnesota Ballet.
Wow.
And then with Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and we did date for that summer, and I told him, you know, this isn't probably very long because I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up going out to Pittsburgh with me, and he went to college there and worked, and then he met my family, who's all my extended family, who's all Army, mm-hmm. and then he decided to join the Army. I thought it would be to be a nurse. The recruiter had other plans.
Yeah, the recruiter always has different ideas.
He decided to be a Cav Scout. And my family's all infantry, officer, ranger. And so he joined the Army, and I continued dancing, I think, for another year. And then his deployment was moved up. So he proposed, and we did the whole get married at the courthouse. You know, I think it was like 2 days after I turned 21. And then he left in January of 2010.
We married in 2009.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, I was on a plane to Afghanistan.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So you'd already gone through basic training and that kind of stuff. And then, and where were you assigned at this point?
I was at Fort Campbell, the 101st. Okay.
So the transition from ballerina to Army spouse, that had to be a little bit of a...
Crazy town.
But you said your extended family had
yeah,
had
but
some
that's
Army.
Different than actually being, you know, dipped in the...
Yeah.
In the world.
Dipped in. You were thrown in the deep end.
Yeah. So I ended up getting a job as a civilian with the DOD. Mm-hmm. And I never showed my dependent ID. I was not a dependent. I was Kelly Matic. And
I know how you feel.
Yeah. We weren't going to have children. We weren't, you know, I was my own person.
Mm-hmm. Stubborn when we were young.
Very selfish at that point. The Lord had other ideas.
He always does.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a culture shock for sure, but I don't regret any of it at all.
So we're going to fast forward a little bit here. So somewhere along the way, you decided it's time for us to start having little ones. And how long had y'all been married at that point?
Ethan was born in
2012. Well, we had Declan and Merrick.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that was...
January.
No, this was during deployment.
Day before he deployed is when God decided we were going to have children. So Declan and Merrick were conceived right before he deployed. And then in March 12th of, is it 2010? I ended up miscarrying one of the twins. So they were about 16 weeks long, but they had the development of about a 12-week-old child. And they told me that the second baby would be just fine. And I ended up losing him on the 15th of March. And my mother...
So I'm sorry. How many days in between now?
So it was the 12th and the 15th of March.
3 days in between. Wow.
Yep. Yep. And... wasn't real deep in my faith at that point. I can't necessarily say that I was going to Mass every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so I told my mom, and she said, well, you need to keep the remains, and you need to name the baby, and you need to have a Mass and a burial. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you are crazy. You want me to do what?
Yeah.
And put them where? You know, keep them in the freezer so that they remain sanitary, and she would take them home to Minnesota to be buried. And so I did it for her the entire time, thinking, well, I mean...
This is kind of crazy.
It is. I mean, I know they're babies, but, you know, they didn't really look like much of anything. And it, unfortunately, the repercussions of a pro-choice world is your whole life begins at conception, but society is constantly telling you something different. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. Especially when you're that young. And so I ended up going to work the next day and just kind of ignored it and put it out of my mind. I did have a priest that did say a memorial mass for the babies, and they did go home to Minnesota to be buried, but I didn't really address anything.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
So now we're going to fast forward even more now, and we realize, and some of you may hear youngins in the background, because we got four Maddox, little Maddox sitting around, but that's four of?
12.
12.
Yeah, so then we lost Meredith before Ethan.
Okay.
And then we had Ethan. And honestly, I didn't even name Meredith because I was a little irritated with everything at that point. So then we had Ethan. We had McKinley. We had Augustine. Moved back to the United States. And then, boom, we lost. Let's hear. That would be
five more.
We lost five more from 2020 to 2021.
Oh my
The last one was on December 28th, 2021. And that was Agnes Innocentus on the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Those ones I definitely did recognize were children. And I did have a burial for each of them, named them right away. But I don't think as a couple we really discussed what occurred or what each of us were going through until way later. Yeah.
No, you've mostly gone through all of this by yourself. Just by virtue of what I do.
And being gone.
And being gone.
Some separation there, certainly.
Yep.
But that had to be some there has to be some anxiety still. So can you talk about from your perspective, you know, what's going on in your family here?
Honestly, I think it was just a lot of frustration from I felt like it was a lot of frustration from her just because I didn't understand.
Sure.
And I know there's a lot of people similar to me, like if you can't see it, it doesn't have that much of an effect on you kind of thing, right? And so when she went through all this and I didn't know how to comfort, I didn't know really what to do, and it just kind of took a lot of reinforcement to get the point across. And
some of us Army guys, we kind of got to get hit with the same, you know, Matic pick a couple of times. Or
quite a few times.
Yeah, yes. Before we finally sinks in.
Yeah, and it's still to this day, it's still, she has to remind me just everything that's behind it.
Yep.
And it's not just for the women, but also for the husbands as well.
Yeah.
Because it can take a toll on the whole family.
Right. So that toll then is impacting you individually and collectively and your children. We all know that children feel the stress of their parents. And so at what point did you realize we need to do something, you know, as a to provide something for, there's got to be other people like us. How can we help them?
Well, I honestly, I didn't really think about that this was something that was needed until my friend Bianca at Fort Cavazos, she ended up losing her first baby, Mariposa, at about, I think it was about 8 weeks. Okay. And she, you know, I told her everything that would be available to her, a mass, name the child, burial, you name it. And she asked for it. And unfortunately, because there was some lack of education, it was denied. Mm. And I felt really, really bad because they had just come back into the faith. Mm. And when you're, new into the faith and you feel embarrassed and now you would feel like you're not part of the body of Christ. And so it was after that I realized, you know, I think we need education.
Yeah.
For not only clergy, but laity to understand that life does begin at conception. Mm-hmm. They were assigned a guardian angel. God did have a plan for them. And why don't they deserve to be talked about? Like a visible child that was here and now is not. Mm-hmm. So I spoke with the Archdiocese of Military Services about what was needed, especially with the fact that given the military and our transient culture and our support system, you know, it's not always consistent all the time. So the church really, really needs to be there.
Yeah.
And they were very receptive to it. And I know they're working hard on figuring out something at an archdiocese level. And Deacon Jesus from St. Joseph called me and he asked me if I had heard about Redbird Ministry. Hadn't really heard about it, so I researched it a little bit more. And then I think, you know, February of 2022, I had created a bunch of material and I was like, you know what? I'm going to contact Father Chris at St. Joseph and we're going to do this. I've created way too much material to just have it sit here. And I know this is needed and I know Off Post will be really receptive and they'll be able to support just because there's not those weird regulations and holes to jump through like there is on Post. And he was very, very receptive, very supportive. And, thankfully I have Amber Cassell and Brendan Cassell who lost their daughter Maria at 27 weeks. She lived for a day, so she was able to be baptized and she had a beautiful funeral. But you know, Amber was and still is grieving that child. And this was just perfect for her to help and walk with other people as well. So she helped as well get this established. And then, that's kind of how it began.
So let's talk a little bit about the ministry itself, its mission, its purpose. Why?
Why? Mostly because I realized after doing a poll in a survey that no one knows what is available to them when you lose a child that A, has not been baptized, and B, you didn't see or you might not even really have a discernible body. Especially among clergy, it's kind of an uncomfortable topic for them. And so, Holy Innocence Ministry, we received training through Redbird Ministries, who is a USCCB recognized organization, to provide grief companionship. We also provide catechesis to laity and clergy regarding topics of child loss, because again, death for a lot of people can be an uncomfortable topic. But it's, well, like last four things, right? We literally need to prepare, act as if every day is our last day. We also walk with the families, whether it be, you know, the child died at conception or the child was 30 plus years old. So this isn't just babies. While primarily that's where some of our expertise lies, if you lost a child at 30 years old, you're still going through that similar grief of, you know, a mother should never have to bury her child.
Right.
So we offer that and we do grief studies. The remembrance mass, right? A good way to be intimate with your child is through reception of our Lord and through mass, as well as couples retreats, mothers retreats, fathers retreats. So we have a calendar that's getting finalized for the next year. And so as soon as that is finalized, we will put that out. We just had our remembrance mass, which we were able to pray for over 50 children from ages conception to adulthood and served over 100 individuals. And I think it went well and people really, really felt the Lord.
It was powerful, I thought. And then when you see, you get out there and you're kind of preparing when we were setting up everything by the altar, and then you look out and you see the impact that it has on so many people. But what really got to me was when you read the names of all the children that were lost, you know, whatever age or whatever time it was, that was to me, that really kind of brought me back, like, oh, this is what it's about. This is, you know, so
that's the biggest thing people say that have lost a child. Just say their name. Just say their name, you know, or if you don't even know what to say, just say, you know, this is an uncomfortable thing for me. I don't know what to say, but I'm sorry that you lost, you know, Mary Rafka. And so just making it more death is a common thing. So yeah, making it less taboo and more commonplace, and getting Catholics who are, we're all supposed to be living memento mori, right? Mm-hmm. More comfortable mm-hmm. with that, and how to walk with those that are suffering, because it is a corporal works of mercy. Yeah. Right, to bury the dead, and to walk with those who have lost someone, and pray for their souls.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You talk about memento mori, and you know, there's the Jesus tells us, you know not the hour, and you know, and so as you said, death is a certainty, and we all have an obligation to be prepared, and to prepare our spouses and our families as well. So as you have now, we're what, about 18 months, I guess, into the actual ministry here. Mm-hmm. Have you, what kind of response have you gotten from
other priests, the
clergy and laity? Because you're going to get two different responses,
and participation, besides the mass that you just recently had.
You know, it really depends. Father Stephen at Holy Trinity is actually the one that has done all the burials for the families that we have walked with, who have lost children who are, you know, miscarried. Mm-hmm. He was very supportive in creating a whole area in their cemetery for that. He does a beautiful mass, and my sister's husband Josh creates boxes for whatever, if there is remains from the baby. So he, no argument there from him whatsoever. He's so great. And then Father Chris again was super supportive. And Father Tim, who is now at St. Joe's, very receptive, very supportive. And he actually, you know, was like, this is kind of out of my realm. This is something I'm not familiar with, something I don't know. So the fact that he wanted to understand and wanted to learn was just...
That's a great indicator.
It was. Yeah. It was. And then Father Augustine has been great as well. Yeah, he didn't have any issue with me, you know, speaking after mass or, and I think participation has been great. We have a lot of people who want to help when we get this calendar up and running, and the Confraternity of Christian Mothers out of Holy Trinity wants to help with the lost boxes. They've donated beautiful blankets for the boxes.
That's wonderful.
It is. And we hope to get, you know, with grief companionship, it helps to have someone who has lost a child of the similar age, and they do go through a training to make sure that they can, that they walk with that person rather than let's just stay in the same place or go backwards. And so hopefully we'll get more people who have lost children of different ages, so we can be sure to have a grief companion for each of those stages of development, so that they can walk with the family. On-post has been a little bit different. You get the two different thoughts, and I think that's just because there's just so many different cultures. You know, and you just have the military.
Still that, well, there's still that, I know, here we are 20 plus years in, you know, where we've been fighting this global war on terror, and we still haven't figured out the mental health crisis that exists, not just in the military, but in society in general.
And it's only gotten worse since COVID.
But we still haven't. This is Tom McNew's perception, so you know, not official statement by any stretch of the imagination. But it just seems like there's still those walls, and there's still those barriers that we're trying to get over, around, and through. And this is certainly one of those. It's like, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Suck it up, Ranger.
Yeah, to talk openly, you know, and find healing and find help. Now, Kelly, how would somebody get the training if they wanted, you know, say there's somebody out there who is being touched by this this broadcast, and they want to get involved and maybe walk with somebody, maybe they've gone through it. How would they get the training and what's that look like?
Yeah, so they would contact me either through our Facebook page, Holy Innocence Ministry, or our Gmail address or my telephone. And I would walk them through getting the grief companionship training through Redbird Ministries. Okay. 'Cause we are one of those chapters. We just use Holy Innocence Ministry.
Okay.
It's just easier, you know, especially if St. Joseph decides to go in a different direction.
But that's an important... It's an important point.
Yes.
It is something that is supported by the USCCB.
Yes.
It is something that you're not just some
random person.
Hey, let's do. No, this is something that Redbird has been around for a long time, and there is some structure and there is some history and there's some legitimate psychology and psychiatry behind it. And that helps having that
whole framework,
backdrop, I guess.
And it's, you know, because grief again is kind of an awkward topic, and you do have some misconceptions. And one of the biggest things is, well, if you put three people that have grief in the same room, are they just going to sit there and talk about their grief and wallow and, you know, end up with even more grief? Or how do we let someone else's experience with grief be another person's roadmap to healing? And having that training, the training that Redbird does provide, helps someone discern, am I at the point in my grief? Because grief, it never really goes away, right? It's not linear. It's some days are better than others. But am I at the point in my grief where I have offered it to the Lord for my sanctification, the sanctification of others, and my roadmap to this point in my faith and my relationship with the Lord can help someone in their grief and maybe get them there a little bit quicker because they're not taking the 20 steps back that I had to take. So it helps them discern that, and it helps them understand, you know, what... a vocal stopping point would be to make sure that they, you know, hey, you do need a counselor, because we're not counselors. We are grief companions, or we need to pull in a spiritual director, just to get them to that point where they are seeing the beauty in their suffering.
So what happens then now here in maybe 12, 15 months where the Army says, all right, Top, we got it.
Time to
we
go.
Have an exciting new opportunity for you.
Dangle that carrot.
I'm excited.
Yeah, dangle that carrot again. What happens to, you know, Holy Innocence Ministry, excuse me, when Team Matic moves on?
Fully say, God, you've got this. We do have Amber Casale, and they're planning on staying in the area, and Deacon Jesus. But, you know, we often speak about sustainability of ministries, and I understand the church doesn't want to start something, spend money on something just to see it disappear, but we spend a lot of time talking, and I don't think enough time praying for the Lord to do what he does. Because, and you know, you mentioned the moment we think it's us is the moment everything is going to fail. But if we realize that literally we are nothing without God, and this is nothing without God, and this is all because of God, things just start to, they move forward, and he will provide. It might not be in the way that we anticipate or
picture it,
but he will provide. So, you know, we spend a lot of time praying that this will continue to be supported and have the, I don't want to say volunteer, because I hate speaking about participating in the life of the church as a volunteer, because they're two different things, right?
Sure.
But that our brothers and sisters in Christ feel the call to
get involved,
you know, and see this continue.
Yeah, hopefully when people hear this on the air, they'll want to get involved and want to support this ministry by being part of it,
yeah,
and by bringing it to other people and sharing it, and potentially even, you know, you could mentor somebody who could carry it on here and have a chapter here and start a new chapter wherever, the Army sends you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all about working smarter, not harder. And if you if you want all the materials I've created, like, take it. Because, again, if it weren't, for God, none That's of right. this would be here. None of this. Mm-hmm. So if this can go to another parish and someone else create, another ministry under another name that does the same thing and it uses the material and builds upon it and makes it better.
So be it.
That's, we're here for God, not ourselves, right. not ourselves.
Amen.
So go to Facebook and search Holy Innocence Ministry.
Yes.
And it's Holy Innocent. With a T-S.
Yes.
Not in a sense state of mind. Because I'll have to admit, the first time I searched Holy in a sense state of mind, not sense T-S. So, important distinction. Don't be as dumb as I am. But anyway. So, Mitch and Kelly Maddock, thanks, you guys, for taking some time out of your busy schedule and coming out talking to us about Holy Innocence Ministry.
Thank you so much for having us and being supportive of this. It's just, it's amazing to see the body of Christ work together for the salvation of souls.
Amen.